Welcome to Career Tools. This is Sarah.
And I'm Mark.
Today's podcast, How to Handle Headhunters or External Recruiters, part one of two.
This cast answers these questions. What do I do if a headhunter calls me? How do I get a headhunter to call me? And what do headhunters do?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Starting your career in the new year? Build a strong foundation with the First Job Fundamentals series. Learn how to deliver results, build relationships, and earn credibility from day one. Make 2026 the year you'll launch your career with confidence. Visit us at manager-tools.com/memberships in order to become a Career Tools licensee and access the First Job Fundamentals series. So, Mark, the workforce is much more mobile than it once was. And our smart listeners out there have already read The World is Flat, and they know that even fast food jobs are not immune from some sort of outsourcing. And, or I should say, but more importantly than that even, is that companies have long ago stopped managing the careers of their knowledge workers. That goes for managers, that goes for executives. People are fully responsible for their own careers, their career trajectories, etc. And, I mean, there may be some exceptions out there. GE, Procter & Gamble are good at it, but for the most of us, the vast majority of us, we are in charge of our own careers.
Yeah, unfortunately, though, career management skills for most professionals are atrocious. We've talked about it for nearly 20 years in Career Tools. And technical managers are particularly bad at it, largely because of their lack of a network. They tend to be more task-focused and less people-focused, and so they look down on the network-building skills that are required to make themselves aware of new opportunities. I would encourage them to listen to our Open to Opportunities podcast guidance, which is very helpful in terms of changing the way you engage with people, both inside and outside of your organization.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. One of the skills that so many professionals could be so much better at is working better with external recruiters.
And it doesn't take that much work.
Yeah, exactly. It absolutely doesn't. It doesn't take that much work to build relationships. It does take work. Now, many people have heard bad things about external recruiters, and I would guess that those people probably didn't even press play on this episode.
Oh, didn't even think about that.
Yeah, that's possible. But before we lose the rest of you, I mean the ones that hung around for the show, let's be clear. If you're a manager, you should know like one or two executive recruiters. If you're an executive, you should know perhaps as many as five. And yes, that goes for everybody listening. The fact is, recruiters play an important role in corporate life, corporate career development, more today than they ever have before. And it's not just at executive levels. And yet, many of us mess it up and we do poorly at it. So that's what our cast today is here to help with.
And we can prove that for the vast majority of people listening, because a recruiter calls and you get irritated because you don't have time right now, and you're happy, you're employed and you're happy, so you're not looking, but you don't understand the call is more than that. I mean, you're flattered that they're calling you. Again, you're assuming that they're calling you to talk to you, but that's not always the case. You don't know the person, and now is kind of really not the time. And in any event, you take the call, you're irritated, maybe you're flattered, but you are not prepared.
Absolutely. And then they introduce themselves. You don't know them. You don't know the firm they work for. They just say they have a few questions, and they indicate that they got your name from a referral or a reference or a friend or somebody. They didn't really say. But they're already asking you questions, so it's too late to ask them how they found out about you. And they start with something like, what kind of role might be next for you? And then they ask, what might you want that next role to pay you? And how much of an increase is that from what you're making now? And suddenly you've given a stranger your salary, and it would appear that there's nothing in it for you, and you're left wondering.
Yeah. Then they ask about whether your firm uses technology X or new software Y. you indicate, yes, the company uses X, but not so much in your area, and no, not Y, but you know that pretty well from another job. The recruiter says they appreciate your time, although he or she doesn't sound disappointed, and then they'll tell you they'll get back to you. And it feels like you gave them information, they didn't give you any information, and that's a completely legitimate concern to have, only they don't get back to you.
Yeah, they don't. And they talk to their friends.
Yeah.
As they all do. And so all their friends hear about how unprepared you were, and you don't hear from any of them either, and you can't connect with them because, remember, you didn't ask. Hey, who are you? You don't even remember what firm they were with. For that matter.
So, in an effort to avoid this kind of complete nuclear meltdown, let's learn about how to craft the right kind of relationship with a recruiter. Because they do play an important role in the career market. In fact, I would argue they contribute to a less friction-filled external talent market. And we want a talent market that is as friction-free as we can get it, both externally and internally. We want assets, humans, to be as free to go where they want to go as they possibly can, that maximizes their own personal utility. And the fact is, it's not hard to have these conversations and these relationships. It will help your career. You're doing it wrong, probably. And again, it's not hard to do it right with some simple guidance.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So our outline for today has got 6 points. First, some things to know about recruiters, how to handle the first call like a professional, the key questions to ask, how to handle their request, how to maintain the relationship, and then some resources.
Yeah, so let's start with some things to know about recruiters. There are two types of external recruiters, retained and contingency. Retained firms are usually hired for senior executive positions, and they get paid whether they fill the position with a candidate or not. These are very sought-after jobs for recruiting firms. Typically, they only come to a recruiting firm that has a long-standing relationship with a number of executives at a firm and understands the firm's culture and so on. One of the primary reasons they're paid regardless is the hiring company knows that search firms have relationships with other companies that prohibit them from recruiting away from other firms. If you have a retained search firm on retainer, they can't recruit from you. Paying the fee allows them to be clear about where they want searched. Can't just go out searching anywhere. And if the firm they want to do the work can't go to certain firms, they won't go after the work.
Exactly. And another reason is that usually a retained search is only given to one firm.
Yeah.
And so the hiring company has narrowed its options and wants to ensure quality work. While you might ask, well, gee, why don't they just make it commission? It's because in the retained business, if you do several retained and paid searches without success, you're going to go out of business. And the longer it takes, the less margin you get. So if you're retained, they don't have to lure you in with the commission. You're either going to work or you're not, and you won't be able to pay your bills. So retained works too.
Yeah. Contingency firms do searches for a commission. They're only paid if they place someone in the position. This is the type of search that most of us will encounter, in part because only senior level positions are considered for retained searches.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now, just to be crystal clear, it's the searches and not the firms that are technically retained or contingency. We say retained firms only to indicate that most recruiting firms do have a specialty in one type or the other. So someone might say to you, we're a retained firm, or more likely, we're a contingency firm. That means those are the types of searches they do. It's not against the rules, except specific search agreements, to be a retained firm and to do a contingency search. They're more referring to the firm type.
In both cases, retained or contingency, the fee is about 35% of the starting salary. And typically, there is a guarantee associated with that, a retention guarantee, that if they place someone with you in a contingency search or a retained search, and that person leaves before a year, the fee is given back. So that essentially ties the search firm to the results of the search, meaning long-term success, rather than just the placement. In other words, it's not just a one and done and then you're gone. The search firm is incentivized to make sure that they're not just placing somebody who's not a fit because they probably know more about the candidate than the company who's hiring them. And they're involved in making sure that it works out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And again, I mean, you wouldn't be hired back as the recruiter if you didn't do a good placement. But this is just an extra layer of insurance, if you will, for the company. Yeah. And very important point, in neither case should you, the candidate, ever be asked to pay anything at any time. This is not done. If somebody asks you to pay a fee, hang up the phone immediately. This is a scam. This is not legit. There's only one example of a non-trivial firm that did such a thing, Bernard Halladine and Associates, and they were accused in multiple states of consumer fraud. Do not be tricked into this. It is not legitimate. You should not have to pay.
Yep. In fact, we had at our last DIMP conference, we had Somer Hackley, who is well known to many of our community members, and she spoke at the DIMP conference about how to have a relationship with recruiters. And I made the point when there were some questions of her about how people could have good searches. I asked Somer, okay, but what companies do you want to be introduced to? Because most recruiters can find plenty of candidates. What they want is corporate clients. And the reason they want corporate clients, related to your point just now about candidates paying, is the client is the one who pays.
Yeah.
You can have 10,000 candidates, but if you don't have a hiring client, you're not going to get paid for any of those 10,000 clients, those 10,000 individual candidates.
That's exactly it. Now, folks, all that to say, recruiters come in all shapes and all sizes, and the negative reputation the industry has is a function of people losing individuals to recruiters. You should know, by the way, that what's important in the recruiting business, again, to Mark's point, is not the candidate. There are plenty of qualified people. What's really important, what's truly important to the recruiter, is the company who will pay that nice, lovely little fee.
Exactly. What this means is that for most contingency recruiters, we'll focus there for now because that's the majority of the industry, the real determinant for you should be the person with whom you're talking. Your relationship with any firm and availing yourself of its resources, a search firm, boils down to the individual recruiter you're talking to. And that means it boils down to your relationship with them. And this guidance is about how to make a good relationship with a recruiter. And more than one, but recognize that you're not going to be called by 15 recruiters at the same company. If you are associated with a particular recruiter, he or she will develop a relationship with you, and you're obligated to develop a relationship with them as well.
Are you struggling to get your point across? At the Effective Communicator Conference, you'll learn actionable strategies to overcome communication barriers and engage every audience. Help yourself reset your habits and communicate with impact. Don't wait. Register today. Visit us at manager-tools.com/training to sign up for an in-person or virtual Effective Communicator Conference today. So, how to handle the first call like a professional? Well, step number one is assume you'll be called. Behave as though you will be so you can prepare for when you are. Because the fact is, folks, if you're good, in most industries, other people know you're good, which means that other good professionals and executives have mentioned you in their recruiting relationships. And Mark just mentioned Somer. She said one of the number one reasons that she will speak to an individual, a person searching for jobs, is if they've been referred. Referrals mean a lot to recruiters. If a good person talked about you,
you're probably good.
You're coveted. Exactly. Exactly.
And look, surprise is never a good technique for starting a relationship.
Yeah, that's true.
So don't assume you're not going to be called and then act surprised when you are. And surprise, of course, won't help you be prepared for the call. And on the other hand, if you assume you'll be called, you'll pay attention to these simple guidelines and you'll be ready. You'll comport yourself well. You'll show yourself well, and you will have an opportunity to benefit the recruiter, and they'll have a lot opportunity to benefit you.
And then there's always accept the call or reply to it if you get a voicemail or an email. Now, folks, look, we know you're busy and we know you're probably already happy in your current role, but return the call. Return it that very same day. That very same day. The fact is, if it's the first time you've been contacted by a firm, your lack of response might mean you'll not be contacted by that firm again. And smart recruiters have a lot of people to contact. And for contingency searches, at least, they're pressed for time. So heaven forbid, in 6 months from now, you need a recruiter when things change at your company and you ghosted them all when they left you voicemails or sent you emails and you didn't respond. And now here you are wanting help and no one's there to help you.
Yeah. The mistake most of you will make is that you just don't reply. Just because the recruiter sounds salesy is not a reason not to return their calls or emails. They may ask you for a favor and they know that they will owe you a favor in return. It may not be that you get placed with them, but in fact, your first relationship with a recruiter can be a learning one, but you won't learn anything if you don't answer the phone or return their call.
Yeah. And going back to step number one, your relationships, your referrals, being referred matters. And you're not going to get referred if you're just ghosting people's calls. They're not going to internally tell their friends, hey, you should call this person. They're good. They're not, because you didn't talk to them.
Next, folks, remember, it's a two-way street. And of course, that's true for all relationships, right? Just because you don't know why they're reaching out doesn't mean you should roll over and answer their questions. The mindset to have is this is two professionals talking about work. It's only fair that if you're going to answer their questions, and of course, they contacted you, the recruiter should be willing to answer yours as well. And they will be. They may not be able to tell you who's searching and what the pay is and so on, but they will be open to having a conversation with you as opposed to just using you. Now, if you find yourself being used by a recruiter, they call you and they ask for referrals, but you know they don't really do anything for you and they're not really pleasant or even borderline professional, don't talk to them anymore. That's fine. If you don't have a good connection with them, that's totally fine.
Exactly. And then there's use your best communication skills. Folks, many professionals approach this conversation warily, which comes across as unfriendly.
Totally.
Or in the wrong hands, rude. So think of it like an interview. Be upbeat, friendly, outgoing, warm. Express your pleasure that they reached out. Your communication skills make up 80% of the impression that you're going to leave with that recruiter. Someone who smiles when they're talking on the phone, who answers in complete sentences, someone who intersperses their answers with questions of their own, asking things of the recruiter as well. It indicates a really good communicator. And if you think about it this way, I mean, all professional jobs require good communicators. Short answers, factual, but not at all expansive, responding with, why do you need to know that? In a flat tone. These are signs of a closed communicator, not a professional, not someone that they would recommend to one of their important clients to hire.
And you may be thinking, by the way, that when they call you, if they're not interested in you, and sometimes they are not, but they have heard good things about you, and they may want a referral to a couple of your friends, rather than thinking about doing a favor for the recruiter, think about doing a favor for one of your friends. They may have a different feeling about the role they're in. They may be thinking, without ever having told you, that they're looking or they're open to opportunities. And referring that person to a recruiter, especially if that recruiter places them, you may think you did a favor for your friend, but actually you did a favor for both. And you're owed two favors now. Now look, there are certainly times when recruiters will ask questions they ought not to. A good example of this is salary. And recruiters come across a little bit aggressive. They tend to be high D's and often high I's as well. Unless they can confirm that you are personally being considered for a specific position, and to be clear, that's highly unlikely in a first call, it's not required you share your compensation with them. just demur and say something like, you know what, let's talk about it in some future call. But regardless of whether or not they ought to be asking this question, you still have to maintain your professionalism and your composure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Mark already gave you an example, but things that you could say, why don't we leave that until there's a position on the table and I'm actually in the mix? You can assume that I'm paid commensurate with the role here. And they ought to know, frankly, what you're being paid or close to what you're being paid. Otherwise, they wouldn't, again, waste their time having this conversation with you. They just wouldn't. And if they come back with, well, you're being considered, you should respond with, okay, let me get a few notes down. Who is this? What's the role? With what company is this? What is the salary? And you can start asking your questions in return because now you know it's serious.
And you're not being rude. You're being a willing co-party to the conversation. You're entitled to some information as well. You're not supposed to be used as an information source and then hung up on. Some other options of what you might say if they ask a question they ought not to might be, maybe that's a question we could save for a later conversation. Or, can you help me understand why that's relevant right now? It'll help me answer it effectively.
Yeah, exactly. And folks, professional positive communicators never ever say anything derogatory about anyone or any organization. If the recruiter says, well, things are tough there, you can respond with, yeah, there have been some difficulties, but I'm growing my skills for the future and know we're going to make it through. Or some say that, but I'm delivering good work and relying on others to do their best too.
Yeah, I'll give you a personal example. In my particular case, I used to get calls from recruiters, and I, having been a recruiter briefly after Procter & Gamble before I started my first consulting firm, I knew how recruiters worked. And even though I am not open to opportunities, obviously I've just retired for the second time, and I think it's pretty well known to everybody in the community that I'm inextricably tied to the company and I'm never going to leave.
Well, you own it.
And I'm an owner.
Know that.
Exactly. I absolutely would take a call from a recruiter today. There will be no benefit for me directly other than exchange of favors. But if they were smart, in fact, Somer would be a good example, they would call me and ask about people in the Manager Tools community, right?
Yeah, you know a lot of people.
I know a lot of people. Sarah always kids me, folks, when I say Rolodex. Some of you don't even know what a Rolodex is, but I have a phone full of contacts, and so does our company,
yeah.
In fact.
Yeah, that's absolutely it. Thanks, folks. Join us again next week as we continue this topic. Now, help us help others and tell your friends. And of course, follow, rate, and review our podcast. And remember, 5 stars only, please.